Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description. I think I heard everybody clap. I think we're synced.
Cool.
Okay.
I think. Okay.
We're in it now. I think now. So.
Do you want to do another one? Or
let's
do
one more. Here? Let's do one more just in case.
Okay.
Just in case.
45?
Let's do it on 45. Yep. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Strangers in the Wood. I am your humble dungeon. No, whoa. I can't believe I almost said the cursed word.
Holy shit.
Yeah, high key cringe. I am your humble game master, Kendrick Smith. I use they, he pronouns, and you can find me everywhere on the internet at Kendo Makes Films. And with me today, I have my lovely, lovely players and dear friends, starting here with Gus.
You know, somehow you've said me every time. And I'm still always not ready for it. Hi.
You're the first on the list.
So. Yeah, I know. Hi. I'm Gus, or August, if you will. I use he, him pronouns. I play the Walter Weasel.
My favorite instrument.
S tier instrument.
Poke his head and he squeaks.
Is that a woodwind, technically?
I think it would be a woodwind, yeah.
Right? Oh, percussion makes sense. Maybe. Where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, I am on... I'm on things. I swear I'm on things. like Twitter, at August Nobby. And also... Actually, that's pretty much it right now. I'm working on it.
I feel you. I understand. It takes time.
Yeah.
Also, with me today is Hilda.
Hello. That's me. I'm also really bad at these intros. I still don't know what I'm supposed to do either. I play Dorothy. Name.
Okay.
she's great. And go follow... my cat Elliot on social media. Elliot the kitty cat. That's two L's and two T's in Elliot.
And what pronouns do you use?
She, her. Sorry.
Sick.
Again. No, you're fine. Bad at intros.
No. It's fine. We're gonna get in it. We're gonna figure it out. And last, sorry. Jeez, I was swallowing the last bit of a cough drop. and last but certainly not least, Marcy.
Hi, I'm in sync. I use bye 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 pronouns.
Oh my god.
You can find me at Twitter at in sync.
No.
For...
No.
No.
This is a falsehood.
for everybody who is not in our particular group chat, which is most people
listening. Just basically every human being on the planet Earth.
Every human being on the planet except for five people. Marcy posted a GIF of NSYNC just thrusting aggressively. Just
going at it.
Just going
it's
at
kind of
it.
It's kind of admirable. I hope to achieve their power.
Yeah, we had to delete it because it was very distracting. But what are your real socials and pronouns and name?
What do you mean?
Shut up.
All right, that's how you want people to know you for this episode.
I'm cool with that.
Okay, NSYNC.
This is the first episode that they're actually hearing if they're doing it right. So
yeah. that's
just how they know you now.
I am all that's five true. Members at once.
Wow.
That's hey, you know what? I respect your identity as that.
Thanks.
Okay. I guess we're just not getting your name, which is fine. I'm just, my brain is like, has that as like an unchecked box and is really trying to figure out how to move on for here.
Marcy decided she no longer wants to be associated with this podcast. And,
I guess so. That's fine.
She's looking
that's,
to rebrand.
Yeah.
You know what? That's totally, that's fine. I respect that.
What'd you do to him?
This was the most recent gift the stranger gave me. He is currently in the process of becoming a new form for my children.
And she looks over towards the sack, which has just stopped writhing. Out flops Edward, the large German shepherd-headed man. Just like on the ground, there's like a moment of like stillness and like the body begins to like twitch and flail a little bit in like this weird contorting motions.
That was my friend. You killed him. Why would you do that?
Again, there's no emotion here. She looks at you and just very plainly says,
my children needed a form, and this was his gift.
Stay where spiders belong, in the dark, away from everybody.
As soon as you call her a spider, she reaches out to grab you, Dorothy.
Dakota takes the break and kind of runs at Edgar and tries to like slash open the underneath of his stomach.
Oh, awesome. You dodge out of the way as he is trying to jump onto you and you get him like right in the stomach and you cut deep into the side of his body and you cut in deep, but there is no blood, only spiders. Yeah.
I have a plan. We should leave.
I agree. That's a great plan. That's a great plan. How do we leave?
What about this light coming from the ceiling?
Yeah. I mean, there's webbing all the way up to the ceiling. Like, you could potentially climb.
I do want to do the thing with the fire, though.
Okay.
I think he gets a few pieces of firewood, like, burning, and then just sort of, like, starts spreading them around the room.
She goes, she's coming like towards you with the speed of a furious spider. You like start running off towards the middle of the room, like going left. And then she quickly, like with her extremely long appendages, goes out to grab you again and you're able to slip out, but not before she grabs that flashlight from your hand.
Dakota turns after hearing like Dorothy like yell after getting hit and sprints and starts waving the brake like on fire like at Rose and yells, everyone start climbing now.
Rose, you're a person. You're not an animal. He made you that. She doesn't understand what it's like, but you can show her right now. Act like a person.
As you say that, she looks back towards you, Walter, as you make this claim about her humanity. And as she looks back, there's also this moment of recognition of the fire that is quickly spreading in this cave. And she looks from you to the fire and then over to Edward. She just looks at you and says,
"Leave and never return."
And she climbs over to where Edward is, picks him up, and starts climbing out of the cavern, making her way towards the ceiling. And you all see Dorothy running towards her, towards the fire, may I say.
Oh my god. Fuck.
Yeah, Jesus, fuck. Dakota, okay. Dakota, like, gets to her feet and just runs and picks up Dorothy and throws her over her shoulder.
She took my flashlight! No!
Dorothy, we can get another one. We have to go now. And Dakota starts running towards, like, the wall to start climbing with Dorothy over her shoulder.
Marley starts climbing with Walter on her shoulders as well. It takes a while, a couple of minutes. By the time you make it out, she has already, like, been in and out of here. The fire quickly spreads through this room, burning the last symbols of Rose's humanity along with it. The webbing, the bed, the dollhouse, this room, and everything in it is lost in smoke and ashes and cinders as you all climb your way all the way to the top, making your way out. You find yourself on this hill in the middle of the woods, and you barely escape before the fire reaches up towards there as well. You're on the grass, exhausted, taking in as much air as you can, having almost passed out from smoke inhalation, but you're out. And in the near distance, you can see the top of the Ferris wheel from the Botanical Carnival. But here you all are, on this hill in the woods, watching as the smoke from this room rises out of the hole and dissipating into the air far above you. Last time, we left you all off sitting at the top of the kind of hill in the middle of the forest after having just climbed out of Rose's den. There is still wisps of smoke that are rising from the hole, dissipating into the sky above you as the last bits of the fire claim every last flammable thing that was in the room. All the webbing, all the bed, the table, all of the toy house and the dolls that she had made, that Rose had made, into ashes, into smoke, rising above the autumn-colored trees of the Sublime's forest. You all are pretty exhausted. You all have been through a lot this morning. As you all are, like, starting to kind of reclaim yourself, like, starting to come down maybe a little bit from the rush of, like, having to climb up here, you guys all take stock. And as you look around, you see that everyone here is kind of a little worse for wear. I mean, like, Dorothy and Dakota, the two of you have basically been wearing the same clothes for the past 3 days and have been through a lot because of it, and, like, during that period of time. And so, like, all of you are, like, kind of dirty, covered in soot and ash and, like, little bits of webbing and dirt, and your fingernails are all, like, kind of matted in with, like, dirt and rocks and such from, like, all of the climbing and, like, just going through into the thick of it, truly. Just to get a check-in, how's everybody feeling?
I'll start. Dakota, I mean, you know that feeling whenever, like, you sit at a bonfire for far too long and, like, your face is just, like, you can, everywhere you go, that scent follows you. Mm-hmm. Your eyes are burning, and no matter how much you rub them, like, it doesn't seem to soothe it. You cough and wheeze hoping to, like, get some kind of breath without the denseness of the smoke you've sat in. Any sort of brisk breeze you can feel is like new life being breathed into you. Dakota is, for lack of a better word, pissed at the fact that they were so close to having a peaceful resolution to this sort of heightened confrontation and seeing it all crumble before them is, it cripples their motivation.
I imagine so, especially because, like, this time around, it wasn't even Dakota's doing that really made things blow up. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And also, I mean, seeing Dorothy do this is saddening, you know? Seeing this person that Dakota's seen as innocent and kind and sweet, capable of this sort of aggression and capable of hurting someone so deeply. Yeah, it is a little eye-opening.
In eye-opening in what way?
I think that Dakota is more or less thinking about the fact that maybe Dorothy's actions are a result of their own. Mm-hmm. Dakota has modeled these behaviors for Dorothy to follow. Not only is any aggression towards Dorothy pointed at her in particular, it's also pointed at themselves. They are kind of blaming themselves for Dorothy doing this and turning Dorothy into someone who's capable of enacting that much hurt on someone.
I get you. Kind of paint a picture for me of, like, what is Dakota doing during this, like, period of, like, time where, like, everybody's catching their breaths and, like, the smoke is rising from behind you all?
Dakota is, you know, on their hands and knees, coughing and wheezing into the grass, hoping to catch a breath of fresh air, trying to rub the soot from their eyes while also ripping handfuls of grass out of the ground out of frustration. Their mind not only focusing on trying to see and breathe, but also about this sort of amalgamation and whirlwind of thoughts moving through them.
Okay, interesting. Dorothy, how are you feeling?
Dorothy's very upset, but in a very different way. I'm trying to get back into the headspace where I was. She's really upset that she had to see such a harsh reality of, like, a person she befriended kind of being destroyed in front of her eyes in a way that is, like, so tied to, like, a terrible, deep fear that she has of spiders and of, you know, the dark and all of that. Mm-hmm. Just combined into one awful nightmare.
Yeah, it's like literally every, like, just looking at the list of Dorothy's fears, it hits just about every single, hits every single fear on this list. It's
checking a lot of boxes.
It was a dog you were afraid of. It is spiders. It is in the dark. It is an adult man. It hits a lot of these, truly.
It's a little bit of not their fault, but, like, it's abandonment too. Like, Edward's not around anymore. And, like, so having to see that all come apart in front of her. And then to just top it all off with, like, losing probably her most precious possession in that flashlight, which is her only safeguard against a lot of those things as well. That's all she had, and now it's gone.
Paint me a picture of what it looks like as she's in this moment trying to regain herself.
I don't think she has. I mean, I think
she's... I mean, not even if it's not, like, what is she doing? What is the... If, as... imagining, like, our, you know, pretend camera here, like, going from person to person at, like, the start of this episode, you know, fade in, like, smoke is rising from, like an establishing shot looking over the trees, smoke is rising, we pull in, we hear the coughing of, you know, Dakota as she is, like, starting to, like, regain herself, like, doubled over coughing, trying to, you know, get herself together, and, like, the camera pans to Dorothy. What do we see?
I'm kind of just wherever Dakota has kind of dumped me a little bit, like, she had to pull me out. I was reluctant to leave, even though it was a terrible situation. Like, I was just so worried about my flashlight, and so I had to get dragged out of there, and I'm just wherever Dakota deemed it, you know, far enough for her to just let go of me. I'm crying. Dorothy's crying. She's just probably curled up in the grass and just like trying to block out everything that's going on around her, and like trying to just be like, she doesn't have any, like, there's no safe spot anymore. There's nowhere for her to retreat to. There's nowhere for her to go. She's mad at everyone. Everyone's mad at her, so she can't go to anybody else either. And so she's just curled up, trying to block out the world.
Our camera lingers on the kind of curled up, crying form of Dorothy, and slowly moves over to Walter.
Walter is just, Walter just feels kind of defeated. Like, he feels like they almost had, you know, a big victory, you know, that real, like, progress, real moving forward was, like, just within their grasp. You know, despite everything terrible going on, it's like, he felt like there was this one thing that was maybe about to go right, and it didn't. And he knows that, you know, it's a lot of I think he's quietly mad at Dorothy, but he also knows that he's the one that lit the fires. I think he's, you know, he knows he didn't start the conflict, but he is, and I think that's what he's doing, is he's just like watching the smoke and just like blankly staring at it, and just like knowing that this was him.
What does the camera see?
I think it is just I think he's just like standing just like in the grass, just you know, like facing away from everyone else and just watching the smoke.
You all kind of stand around here for a while. The camera then pans over to Marley, who is also similarly like coughing, but she's like found like a spot to like kind of sit down, has her like legs up, knees to chest, like kind of just holding it as she's like coughing into her legs, head down, like not looking at anyone, turned away from the hole in which all the smoke is coming out from. And there is minutes of just silence, or at least not talking, right? Where it is just the sounds of coughing, of crying, and the breeze as the wind moves through Sublime County's valleys, through the trees, the rustling of leaves and foliage, the chirping of distant birds, and the sounds of nature as kind of a background to everything that's going on here. Who do you think breaks the silence?
I think Dakota looks over at Dorothy and like glares at her, gritting her teeth, trying to hold back whatever outburst is smoldering inside of their head, but just glaring daggers at Dorothy.
Dorothy is not clocking this.
As like she's just like curled up crying to herself.
Yeah, I imagine I'm like clutching that pumpkin, like it's the only thing I have left.
Is there a point, Dakota, where you actually say something?
Yeah. I think after a few minutes of just trying to hold their tongue, Dakota kind of like mumbles and is like, "Are you proud of yourself, Dorothy?"
Dorothy, like, maybe is kind of faced toward you. She just rolls to her other side, face away.
So you're not even gonna apologize for what you did? What you put us all through? Walter had this. Walter was talking with Rose, and things were gonna work out. Why? Dorothy?
She killed Edward.
You think she killed Edward? We know very well the stranger back at the school was ready to kill Edgar at a whim, and Rose said that the stranger gives her these bodies. And you think she did it? I knew you were naive, but I didn't think it was this bad.
She put the spiders there. She sent them after us. And she took my flashlight.
She was told to do that. She was forced to put the spiders there. And she took that flashlight because you hit her. And you tore her down after Walter spent so long trying to make things work. You may see a monster inside of her, Dorothy, but there's a person there.
It's just a big spider.
It's not a spider.
Just...
There's someone there, Dorothy.
Just shut up, both of you. When we get you home, you two can tear each other apart as much as you want, but we need to move forward.
Forward where? We had opportunity with Rose. We had someone who's going to stick by our side and help us.
Well, now I burned all of her shit, so we don't have that anymore. Anyone have any ideas?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we can read a few more children's stories.
I think what Dakota has leveled at Dorothy, like, just on a very deep psychological level, is absolutely tormenting her. She hates the fact that she let Dakota down, knows that she's messed something up, as she's often been accused of doing. I think with all of that, Dorothy's just gone silent and absolutely just still, because this is a familiar space for her. And even though it's not a good space, she knows how to act in it. And so she shuts up and she pulls herself together and sits up to try and look around and see what is going on with the group itself, because she needs to be on high alert now.
Is this her taking a gander?
I kind of wanted to ask, I don't remember if you had mentioned anything about this. Are we where we can see the carnival?
Yes. I didn't mention it this time. I did mention it last time, though. The carnival is off in the distance. You can see about half of the Ferris wheel in the distance. So you're definitely within a walking distance of the carnival, and to a point where it is relatively nearby.
Okay, but we can't necessarily see any details of what's going on over there.
Yeah, no, just because it's still the outside of the carnival is still the forest of Sublime County. So it's not completely clear, just to be viewed.
I don't think I'm taking the gander.
You're not taking
a gander? I'm just trying to assess where my next threat will come from.
That sounds like you're taking a gander.
No. Not psychologically, I'm not looking at the area. I know what happened here. I know.
Yeah, no. What
everyone is like, I don't need to know any of that. I'm on edge
wrong about that.
But I'm looking at the list of gander questions. That's not any of the things that I'm looking for.
Okay.
I'm not looking around. I'm not even making eye contact. It's just it's when you're in a group of people that and you just, you can feel what is what different energies are around you and where, you know, who's going to go off on you or who's going to say something or that sort of stuff. I'm aware of.
That's fair. But these questions also answer those things. What should I be wary of would tell you necessarily if someone, what thing would make someone go off on you right now? Or what happened here recently might be might have a different answer than I think you might think it has. Who can I trust in this moment? Also seems like it would be along that list of thinking that Dorothy is on. And what here is not what it appears to be also includes the way people are acting. You don't have to do it. I'm just saying. I think some of these answer the things that you are saying that Dorothy is looking into. Because Gander is not just about the space. It is also about people. Hilda, roll Gander.
Cool.
When you take a look around, describe what you're looking into, and you're kind of just looking at the kind of situation with everybody right now, socially in a way. So roll plus noodle.
That's a seven.
Ooh, ask your GM two of the following questions, and one answer will be
great.
True,
now you get to
and the other will be a lie. My favorite thing I get to do: gaslight my players.
Such a healthy dynamic. All right. What do I want to risk you lying to me about?
Oh.
I don't want you to lie to me about any of these questions. All right. Who can I trust?
And what's the other one?
What should I be wary of?
Okay, cool. I imagine in scenarios like this where Dorothy is being heavily scrutinized by people, yelled at even. We all become very acutely aware of what's being said, how people are acting. But also when what people aren't doing, right? When, you know, multiple people have yelled at you in a room, you become very aware of who's on whose side in a specific scenario. And it becomes clear to Dorothy in a way, I think just by the very way that things have kind of played out, that Marley hasn't attacked you for this. Marley doesn't even have like the same like physicality in which like that like Dorothy might read as like affirming what everyone else says. Like, she doesn't seem angry, and she is like sitting, she's kind of like turned her way like towards where everyone is now, kind of looking at you all yell, and you know, she has this sad and disappointed look, but it's not pointed at you as it seems to be pointed at everyone else. So that is the answer of who can I trust and what should you be wary of. I'm sure it has occurred to Dorothy at this point Rose is not here right now. Rose is not currently around you, despite having come up this hole. And like that kind of thought process of like being upset that you've lost your flashlight, and perhaps even like wondering like, what is she going to do with the flashlight? Why did she take it? And kind of just wondering about that as like the thought like crosses through her mind. There is this kind of questioning of like, okay, well, where would she have gone? You know, that you have a vague idea that she used to go to the school. Maybe she's gone to the school, but probably not. Probably didn't go to the sheriff. Why would she go to the diner? And just like as you're going through like the different, the handful of places you know of that exist here. I think there's like this glinting, like kind of reflection that maybe from like far off that makes you look over towards the Ferris wheel. And the thought perhaps passes that, did she go back to the botanical carnival? And that is vaguely what you should be wary of if you want to either avoid or perhaps encounter her. The carnival might be the place that you should be aware of.
What a vibe check. All right.
Could I? Oh, sorry.
No, I'm not doing anything.
Okay. I think I would like Walter to sort of act on his word of we need to move forward, we need to get going, we need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see if there's anybody that I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using connected what I'm saying.
Of course. So there's like a number of things that you all perhaps need help with, right? Getting to the like wild lands of the sublime, out to the border cities, past the forest. You're all dirty and like disgusting and tired. So like maybe trying to find a place to like rest and clean up. See, and I don't even know to like what degree this is on y'all's radar, but I think Walter, you might vaguely be thinking about this. Marley is turning into a deer.
Oh shit. For
time. And I feel like if anyone still is like even slightly cognizant of that, it might be Walter. So maybe you'll need help with that. Who knows? So like for this connected role, what kind of help are you looking for?
I think like fitting with the theme of like moving forward, I think he's looking for some way to get to
the wildlands.
The wildlands, yeah.
Okay, cool. In your time here, you've met your fair share of forest folk. Roll plus noodle.
All right. That is a, what is my noodle? It's a 9.
A 9. You might know someone who can help, but they may not be trustworthy.
That's the best answer. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much.
Let's see. Who's someone that could help Walter get to the wildlands? Let's see. I mean, so you've been out there before, right?
Yes.
How do you imagine Walter got there in the first place? Was it just like years of walking and like eventually like making it out, or like, or what do you even imagine brought him out there in the first place?
I almost think that, and like, I don't know how well this jives with the with what we've established about the wildlands, but I almost think he didn't even necessarily go there on purpose. Like, he wasn't trying to get there, but he was like drifting amongst so many people, you know, maybe hitchhiking,
yeah,
to a certain extent, and just kind of going wherever the wind took him. And I think at one point he just sort of ended up there.
Okay, cool. So it sounds like you might be looking for like a place to hitchhike then, or like
maybe, yeah, okay. Maybe like a place where
truck stop.
Yeah, I almost thinking like a place where travelers go.
Yeah, maybe what Marcy said is right. Maybe there is like a truck stop.
It is the 80s.
It is the 80s. Yeah, maybe it's like a truck
stop. Does that imply that truck stops do not exist now?
No. That is correct. Trucks are now defunct.
Oh, wow.
What's a truck?
What is it? Like, I think biker bars are really 80s.
Biker bars not are sure. Really 80s. Are you looking for a biker bar?
I kind of like that. That's kind of fun.
That is kind of fun. Okay. Yeah, Walter, one of the places that you remember stopping by during just like on your random like kind of traveling around, hitchhiking from place to place, you remember that there was this old biker bar out somewhere in the Sublime called the Double Hog Bar and Grill. It's a place where, you know, a lot of people just kind of ended up. A lot of travelers, a lot of people just hanging out, having a good time. It's not necessarily the safest place for kids, for sure. Because as you know, the people who end up being bikers are people who the stranger has determined emotionally and psychologically belong in a biker bar. And as, like, yeah, you know, a biker gang. Take that as you will.
What'd you say? Sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, yeah, so take that as you will. You're aware of this biker bar. It's not the safest place, and the people there are may or may not be trustworthy just because they are the type of people that the stranger has determined are quote unquote what a biker is.
I think anywhere we go is going to be at least marginally better than a flaming spider pit. So
marginally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Walter says, you guys are ready to move on. I know a place we can go. Just polling here, seeing what you guys think. Do you think we should steal from the carnival before we go anywhere else?
Dorothy wants nothing to do with the carnival.
I mean, what is there to steal?
Food. Food, maybe.
How far is it to the place that you have us going?
How far is it to the place?
It sounds like you're going to need to make a forest expert roll. You've been around here too long, but long enough to know where you're going. Roll plus noodle.
I got a 12.
Ooh. Ooh.
A 12? Boy, you know.
I got a 12.
Fuck yeah.
So, you know exactly.
It was a dirty 12.
Oh. Sad. You know how to get where you're going and can expedite the journey. Cool. So, you are certain that you know your way through the woods and you can get everybody there in like probably about a day, but it's going to be a long walk. It is going to be basically the entire day of walking in order to get yourself there before dark. In fact, I mean, you probably actually, because we're already kind of like midday at this point, you would probably not get there until the next morning. And that's probably like the quickest pace you could go.
Yes, he says, I know how to get there, but it's a ways away. We might have to camp out for the night.
I mean, how hungry is everyone? I'm kind of starving. I mean, we had somewhat of a light breakfast, at least for my sake.
I like 4 bites of a hot dog, which is about enough for me. I have like a 14-inch long body, so it, you know, wasn't...
So is Dakota implying that they want to go back to the carnival?
Dakota is hungry. That's kind of all. I mean, I don't think Dakota necessarily is interested in going back to the carnival, but also knows that they're hungry and that, like, if they can't eat for us tonight, they're going to definitely have to go hungry.
Is Dorothy, like, visibly upset by the talk of this plan?
Yes.
Okay.
Of going back to the carnival? Absolutely. Yeah.
Then Walter says, hey, what if, you know, the carnival's not far. What if me and Dakota go, we can scout ahead, just check if there's anything weird there.
I mean, yeah, you're pretty small, so I mean, you can probably get in and out real easily.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. And you can just hang back and we'll come right back, okay?
And then Dakota looks and goes, is that okay, Marley?
She kind of looks over at you all for a moment and says, yeah, I guess so. I mean, are you sure it's safe to even go there?
I am entirely unsure. That is that's why I'd like to go take a look.
You want to take a look because you're unsure it's safe.
I mean,
when you say it like that.
I'm just saying there are other places we can go.
I mean, is there anywhere between here and where we're going, Walter?
Marley, sounds like you might have.
But I'm just saying there are lots of places. The Sublime is huge. I mean, there are towns. There are lots of places. I just don't think going to the place where the spider, where Rose was, is necessarily a smart idea. Especially because pretty sure all of the people there were also filled with spiders.
Yeah, I was kind of getting that suspicion. I didn't want to say it, but yeah. Yeah, so is there, would Walter know of anywhere that is like very near to where they are now?
To get food or just like in general?
Somewhere relatively safe, I guess. Somewhere that is not the carnival or the forest.
Okay, in order to... just like rest for a bit, get some food, or just like,
yeah,
okay. This sounds like it might be another connected role, which is fine.
Okay,
yeah, because I mean, yeah, it seems the way that is seeming to go, it seems like then that whatever you're about to roll for, assuming that you succeed, will be like a midway stopping point for between here and
right
the bar,
and that's a 10.
Sick. Okay. So connected. In your time here, you've met your fair share of forest folk. Roll plus noodle. You might know. You know someone who might be able to help out, and you know where they might be. Yeah, for sure. I think as a place where you all could rest, maybe clean up a bit and eat. I'm going to. Okay. Here's the thing. You all. Yeah. You would know that there's a laundromat, let's say. There's a laundromat not terribly far from where you are right now. Would like probably take like an hour or two walking before you got there, if you kept following the road. It's this little laundromat that's outside of you know, the nearest town to the Sublime County School for Lost Children. And outside of that laundromat is also a food truck that usually, like, sits out there and, like, you know, feeds people.
What a chill zone.
Yeah. So that could be a place where you all, like, get some food, have, like, a place to just kind of, like, hang out, use the bathroom. I mean, it's a laundromat, so if you want, you could wash your clothes, I suppose, but all of that's kind of, you know, free for you all to play around with, I guess.
Walter remembers the laundromat and briefly, like, considers, could he survive if he put himself in one of the washing machines?
Maybe.
And then decides against it. Decides that he will probably not try.
Fair enough.
Dream big, Walter.
One day. So he says, yeah, I know a place. It'll be safe. Temporary, but safe. We can rest for a bit.
If you think it's safer than going back to the carnival, then let's do that instead.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I think most places in this world and all other possible worlds and all of imagination would be safer than the carnival. So, yeah, let's go there instead.
Dakota,
Dorothy is like, kind of looking at Marley with some adoration for completely turning this around so that there's no going back to the carnival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the record, Walter didn't want to go back to the carnival. Walter wanted to steal from the carnival.
Totally fair.
that involves going back to the carnival, though.
To some extent.
To some extent. Okay, cool. So do you all just, like, get up and start going then, or?
Yeah.
I'm going to walk closer to Marley and as far away from Dakota as possible.
Yeah, I think that's mutual.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Kendrick, your game master and your dearest friend, I guess. I don't know about that. We don't really know each other. We're more like associates, right? Yeah, whatever. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I mean so much to us, of course, that you would take the busy time out of your day to listen to our little podcast. We know it's been a second since we've done the main game, or at least like the main story. So we're like really just happy to get back into it because we, like, I guess in game are like pretty far ahead. So now you all are catching up to where we are, and that's super cool. If you are really enjoying all of the content that we're making, go ahead and follow us on social media on Instagram and Twitter at Tales Yet Told. That's TalesYetTold. It's where we post most of our updates about when episodes are coming out, sharing any character art that gets shared with us, and just kind of talking to you all in general. If you want to engage with us even more, you can even join our new Discord server. Yay, look at that. We have a Discord server, so you can come and talk to us and, like, talk about the show and things that you like and all that really cool stuff. You can find the link to that Discord server on the description of this episode. Also on the link page that you can find in the bios on any of our social media pages. Another way you can show your support is by leaving a review or rating on any of the podcatchers that do that, which is like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podchaser. That way we know how you feel about us and other people also know how you feel about us. And maybe that will get them to want to listen as well. And it's just a really cool and easy way to be able to support us that makes us smile every time we see a new one of those. And of course, last but not least, I want to give a huge shout out to the Be Gay Roll Dice Network for allowing us to be a part of their little queer family. And, you know, it's just a bunch of us. You know, making content about people like us, sharing stories about people like us, and playing tabletop games with people like us. And also, of course, bringing people outside of that to enjoy in the wonders of queerness, I guess. I actually have an ad for you to listen to right here for one of the amazing shows. So I'm going to play that right after I'm done. But don't forget to go out eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself. Because self-care is very important. And don't forget to love yourself like I love you. Bye.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive hollow foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitterton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitterton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bittertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitterton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitterton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Welcome to the world of Super Idols RPG, where superpowers exist, but only among those with dreams of pop star fame and glory. Anyone who believes in that dream can be a super idol, be they an awkward gothic Lolita.
Yeah, Valerie has her phone out. Her phone screen's not on. Looks closely.
A recovering mean girl.
Just to establish for no weird reason at all, but you all do go to this school, right?
An excitable fanboy.
Can you, I'm really shy, but can you ask him if they could sign my jumper? Wait, hold on. Oh no, I transformed. Can I have their autograph?
A literal queen bee.
Sorry to kill your buzz, honey, but you just have to get used to the sting of disappointment.
Or a mischievous rapper.
Lucia makes more clones of herself so she can have a huddle.
Aww.
Join the members of Rhythmics as they reach for the stars in the second exciting arc of Super Idols RPG, a queer, diverse, narrative-focused masks campaign with elements of high school comedy, magical girl anime, showbiz drama, and superhero action. New episodes release every 3 weeks on Sundays. Check out superidolsrpg.wordpress.com for more details.
You all begin the long trek to the laundromat. Just like Walter said, it's about like an hour, hour and a half of you all carving your way through the woods of the sublime. Slowly as, you know, day is going by, it's like about mid-afternoon at this point. You all are tired, exhausted, frustrated, dirty. You all have been through a lot right now, just over the past couple of hours, but days in general. Is it silent as you all walk? Is there like any like kind of conversation, or is it just like silent, like marching through the woods?
I think it's silent, but
yeah, I would assume as like they're walking through the woods, Dakota is taking any chance they can to sort of like kick big stones or debris along the path, along with kind of breaking twigs as they move along.
Yeah, I think Walter's like leading the pack, and like anything that he would say would just be like, you know, cuz he's a small fellow and maybe not the easiest to follow in the woods. So he might just be like, "Over here, this way."
Mhm.
He'd be saying stuff like that, and that's the extent of it. We're not happy with each other right now, it seems.
No. Sad. You all make your way through the woods of the Sublime, slowly, carefully, and silently. And eventually, you all come to a kind of point in the forest where the road carves back through it, and you all come out of the edge of the woods and onto the road. And Walter, you know that if, you know, you follow this road for like another mile or so, you will find your way to the laundromat. You follow the road, perhaps somewhere deep in your mind, hoping that a car drives by that can ease your burden at least a little bit, maybe give you an answer on where to go. But sadly, there is nothing. And the four of you continue your slow, silent march through the Sublime until you reach a point where you all can see in the distance a large white sign, and like kind of that almost kind of a diamond shape logo, Denny's-esque. Is that what you know, the shape of like the outline of the Denny's logo, white hexagon, and on the inside in bold red letters and kind of a cursive font and like blue sparkles around it, it just says laundromat.
Fancy laundromat.
Very fancy.
Sparkles.
Sparkles. And yeah, you all finally make your way to the like opening part of the parking lot where you see the laundromat. It is this large rectangular building with glass windows along the front so you can see inside, where you see the kind of vague forms of like washers and dryers. It is the building itself is like an old sun faded white with blue and red like highlights along like the poles holding up the like outer part of like the roof that kind of hangs over a little bit, and like along the roof and edges of the building as well. And in the parking lot, you also see a large food truck. It is this bright yellow, and it's got like painted on it are like different like ingredients, right? So there's like green leaves for lettuce and like red tomatoes and like chicken, and like as if it was like thrown into the air on a yellow background and like taken a picture of, you know? And like that's what the kind of base of it looks like. And they're also in big red letters along the side, it just says tacos.
Hell yeah. This was a good choice to come here. I'm sure nothing is going to go wrong.
Nothing ever goes wrong.
Nothing.
I'm sure we're just gonna get some tacos, we're gonna throw Walter in the washing machine, and we're going to have a chill time.
Yeah.
Dakota kind of seeing this truck, looks at it and like their mouth kind of watering. Like leans down to Walter and goes, "Tacos sound good, but if I remember correctly, none of us really have money."
Yeah, we can figure that out, I'm sure.
Uh huh.
I mean, let's go up. Let's go up. You know, let's ask. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see how much they're charging, and maybe we can offer a trade. We don't have a lot of things, but
do we know if it's safe? I mean, is it connected to the carnival at all? Do we know anything about this place?
I don't think it's connected to the carnival.
How about I go up there and the rest of you guys hang back? I'm the fastest here, so it just makes sense that I'm the one that goes.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Dakota kind of looks at the rest of the group and, like, kind of starts walking towards this truck.
Gotcha. Yeah, you walk towards this truck, and, like, as you approach it, you can smell the delicious smell of, like, ground beef, and that's mostly it. Also, like, chicken. Usually, like, I mean, yeah, it's a taco truck. Like, what?
Yeah.
It's the...
You smell, like, the tortillas cooking.
Yeah, you can smell... Yeah, you smell the tortillas. Sure. Ooh, you smell that really, like, savory, spicy smell of... Oh, yeah, 100% there are birria tacos here. I don't know if you all are familiar with birria tacos, but they are fucking delicious. 100% they've got birria tacos. But yeah, you get here, you smell that. And as you approach the place, you see that there's just one person in there. It's this kind of older lady. Hold on, give me 1 second. Cool. It's this older lady. She's got, like, the big curly, like, permed 80s hair, you know. She's wearing, like, high-waisted jeans and, like, a blue jean jacket on, and, like, she has, like, a red top, like, underneath the jacket, and she's leaning out of, like, the window of the taco truck smoking a cigarette.
Dakota normally kind of has a slouch to them, and walking up to this taco truck that's basically in the middle of nowhere, they kind of know that they kind of need to present themselves in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so Dakota kind of stands up straight and, like, lifts their shoulders back, talks a bit more directly and a bit deeper as they get to the taco shop, and they kind of go, excuse me.
You see the lady kind of looks over at you, barely kind of moving, like, eyes move more than her head does. And kind of nods with acknowledgement.
How much is food cost here?
She reaches down beneath the counter. It's not really the counter of the food truck. Pulls out a menu and slides it over the top of the, what's it called, the counter, the thing that I just called it. Yep.
Yeah.
Dakota kind of goes like, "Oh, thank you," and then turns away and looks at the menu.
You look at the menu. All down the menu, it's just taco. It just says taco. Each, like, it's like a very well-designed, like, kind of fun, trendy food truck menu. And every single thing on here says taco. They all cost different amounts, though. Like, the numbers are different, but each one is a taco. But, like, your tacos here range from, like, 10 cents to, like, a dollar.
Damn.
Okay.
It's the 80s. Money work different.
Yeah, that's true.
Money costs different.
That's true.
Inflation.
And we have, like, none money, though.
We still have none money.
Yeah.
I mean, did we actually establish that?
We have none money.
Yeah. I mean, is there
any chance...
If Dakota is not carrying any money, then nobody is carrying any money, I think.
Oh, nobody asked.
Walter, what about all your pockets?
Yeah, all the weasel pockets, for sure.
Dakota kind of, like, put the menu, like, underneath their armpit and then kind of, like, walk around, like, the parking lot looking for, like, loose coins.
Oh, for sure. 100% you can do that. That a lot. Let's see, is there a move for this? Oh, no, I'm thinking of the move that Dorothy has. Yeah, let's just make it a noodle roll. I mean, unless you want to get someone else to do it, like, that's up to.
Nah. It doesn't. I mean, it's a 7.
7. Okay, I know what happens.
Oh no.
So you're walking into this park. This is not an empty parking lot, I should say. I don't know if I don't think I made that clear. There are cars here. Like, there are people who are at this laundromat, right? As well, and, like, even from outside, you can kind of see people moving about on the inside as well. And I think it makes the most sense for, like, Dakota to be, like, checking around cars, right? To see if people dropped, like, change, like, getting in and out of their car, especially, like, you know, going into the arcade, not the arcade, the laundromat, and you find a dollar. You find a dollar like underneath like a car that you're looking at, and then as you go around to like go and get it, you bump into someone, like not even like recognizing like there was a person there as you were like going over. And well, part of the reason why you didn't recognize them is there's because they're pretty short. You like bump into this kid who like kind of falls back as you have much more force and momentum behind your 15-year-old body. And they like fall to the ground, and you see this kid like fall out. He's got like long dark hair, and you see he's wearing what looks to be like a old like gym uniform, wearing like a it's like a green t-shirt and like light brown athletic shorts, and like just like some raggedy old like tennis shoes. He falls to the ground. He's like, I'm sorry.
Dakota looks up and like reaches a hand down and goes, oh, that's my bad, I'm sorry.
He kind of looks up a little bit like he's afraid of you for a second, and then like hesitantly like takes your hand as you help bring him up to his feet.
As I pull him to his feet, can I kind of slide the dollar into my pocket?
Oh, for sure. You slide it in your pocket, and you see like he seems like a little shy. He's not like really like looking you in the eyes and like, sorry about that. I was just I thought I dropped something around here. And he like goes to like look underneath the car where the dollar was, but you got it, so he doesn't see it. And he's like, oh, dang, maybe I didn't.
What are you looking for?
Oh, I thought I dropped like a dollar around here. I was hoping to use it for the arcade machine in there, but maybe it's somewhere else. And you see like he like starts like looking around as well as like patting his pockets to like double check.
Dakota, like while he's like patting his pockets, Dakota looks back like over to where like the rest of the group is sitting, and kind of like moves their finger over like the dollar bill in their pocket. And it's that sort of feeling where like you begin to like sweat because you know something is wrong, and you have to, and you know you have to make a choice here.
Fuck.
And Dakota takes the dollar from their pocket and goes, oh, you mean this one?
He had like walked around to like another part of the car, so he doesn't see you take it out, but upon you saying that, like he kind of comes back over and sees, he's like, oh, thank you so much. Oh my God. And he comes over, hoping to grab it from you.
Dakota kind of holds it up above his head and he goes, you know, I do charge a finder's fee.
Oh, shit.
You see his face falls in that kind of way where he, it's not just like a sad where it's like, it's not just like a sad, like, oh man, like I wanted that dollar. It's the kind of sad of, this is a kid who's gotten his lunch money taken before. This is the kind of sad of a kid who immediately recognizes a bully when he sees one and is acknowledging that in a way where he's like, fine.
Well, an arcade sounds nice. Do you mind splitting a taco or two with me?
I can have one of the tacos.
Well, yeah, I just want, like, maybe two or three, if that's okay.
That's fine. It's only 10 cents for the machine anyway, so, yeah, for sure.
All right. Thank you. And Dakota kind of ruffles his head and hands him the dollar.
Yeah, you see, like, almost immediately, like, he's a little confused because he was prepared for you to bully him, but, like, the thing that you've said seems relatively reasonable. It seems like he can't quite, it looks like he can't quite make up his decision on if you're a good person or not.
Understandably.
And so is like going along with it. But I think you ruffling his hair in like kind of a playful way lightens up the mood like a little bit.
Kind of walks over with him to the taco truck.
Dorothy, Walter, the two of you and Marley see Dakota walking back over with this kid.
All right. I mean, yeah.
Damn.
Dakota's replaced already.
Oof. Oh, damn. Oh, that fucking sucks. Yeah. But
yeah.
But yeah, they walk over. You see this kid is like kind of shy. Isn't like really looking at any of you. He's about the height of Dorothy, I would say. He's young in that way where he looks like he's maybe around like 7 or 8. And Walter, actually, also, Walter, you would recognize the clothes he's wearing as, like, gym clothes from the school, from the Sublime County School for Lost Children.
Oh, okay, okay. I wouldn't be able to tell, like, what class
he's in. He's wearing a green shirt, so you would imagine that he's part of the green class.
That makes sense.
Green class was like the middle one, right?
Green class was
yeah, well, the green class was the middle.
Okay, there we
go. Blue class was the top tier, brown class was the bottom.
Yes, he's wearing a green t-shirt, so you would assume the green class.
I think Walter speaks up. Hey kid, how's it going? What's your name?
There's this surprise on his face when you speak to him, as he was not expecting you to speak, and then you.
Oh yeah, I'm a weasel. Walter, is the name.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm Jeff, or Jefferson's my full name, but most people call me Jeff. Or
yeah, I'll call you, yeah. Jeff. That's what you like.
That's what I like. Are you also a student?
No. I'm gonna say no.
He kind of looks around and sees Marley. There is like this moment of like recognition kind of quickly passing over her in that kind of scared way of like not wanting to acknowledge something. And then like just kind of looks back down to the ground and maybe like moves a little closer to Dakota.
Yeah, Jeff's a cool dude. He said he's gonna help us get some tacos. Is that okay, Jeff? And Dakota kind of bumps him with her like with their elbow.
Yeah, we can get tacos.
Sensing a bit of hesitancy, is like, are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. And then maybe we can play on the arcade cabinet if you want.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to.
I mean, have you all played it before?
I mean, like once or twice at the movie theater, but I mean, I can just do that on my phone nowadays.
You can play games on your phone? I hated that. I'm sorry. And thus the meme was born. Is that the title of the episode? You have games on your phone?
Games on your phone.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's terrifying, actually, a little bit.
I'm pretty sure he just said, you have games on your phone. Question,
but also, yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it stands. He says, you have games on your phone?
Oh, yeah, like a ton, dude. Does my phone still have battery?
Probably not. Right? It's been days.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you also haven't
what
really been using
it. What kind of phone does Dakota have? Yeah.
So, maybe not?
It's down to like 20% probably.
Yeah, it's like, let's say
do
it's
you want on, me to make a. Do you want me to make a roll
yeah,
for it?
Yeah, roll, if you have a d20, roll a d20. The highest percentage it could be is 20.
Wait.
Oh, God.
the highest is 20%? Yeah. Oh, shit.
I mean, it's been like 3 days, so I imagine it's gone down.
That's
fair.
Yeah. That's a
9%. Not a lot. What kind of phone does she have?
Dakota definitely has an Android.
Sick.
Probably one of the older ones. So probably like in like a, well, I don't know all the models. The model right now is like a 2021, right? So take like 3 or 4 models back probably.
Mm-hmm.
So not a bad phone.
Not a bad phone at all. Okay, cool. But yeah, you pull it out. You've got 9% left.
Yeah. Dakota like unlocks like their phone and goes like, oh yeah, I have this one I play a bunch. It's like called like Subway Surfers, and like they like open it up.
You even the way your phone looks, the way you open it up, like everything about this, you see Jeff is like mouth agape, eyes wide, like blown away, like you just pulled out a magic wand in front of him. It's like, what? What is that?
It's my phone.
That what?
Yeah, you want
to
try?
What? How does? But it's not connected to anything. Where's the cord?
It doesn't need one.
Baffled. Completely baffled.
Amazing.
Dakota pulls up Subway Surfers and shows Jeff how to play it.
Do you do that as you all are getting, as you all are getting tacos? Cool. So you all get tacos. How many? I guess yeah. You get a handful of tacos. You're left with about like 50 cents. And you all sit down at like some benches that are in the parking lot, kind of near this food truck. And Dakota, you are teaching Jeff how to play Subway Surfers on their phone. You're pretty sure this will kill your battery. It's going to go by so fast. Like by the time you are done eating these tacos, if not before, your phone battery will be dead.
Worth it, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Yeah.
While you guys are sitting down eating these tacos and Dakota is teaching Jeff how to play Subway Surfers, is there anything the rest of you all are doing as Dakota's making a new friend?
Being heartbroken about it, just quietly.
I think Walter is sitting with Dorothy. I'd like to take a gander.
Okay, cool.
Wait, before we roll this gander roll, can I ask a question?
Yeah, for sure.
What is Walter's thoughts on the phone?
Also yeah. True. Yeah, Walter. I think the only other time you've seen this phone is when you all were in the trunk and she used it as like a light.
As a flashlight.
As a flashlight. And I think we might have been really caught up in what was going on in the moment. So it's possible that you also did not recognize it fully at the time, because as you all were like trapped in a trunk. But yeah, this phone.
It was not a priority at that moment.
Yeah, not a priority. But now that you're getting a better look at this phone in a less stressful environment. Yeah, this thing looks like something out of a sci-fi novel to you.
Yeah. I think his reaction is just kind of like more along the lines of just like, huh. You know, that's like, that's different, you know, but he's seen a lot of weird shit.
I have a question. Did Walter ever watch Star Trek?
Did Walter watch Star Trek?
Because Star Trek,
I think
Star
so.
Trek is
yeah,
happened in the
so.
60s. So
yeah, I think Walter's parents were definitely into Star Trek. So I think he's definitely seen some of it.
Gotcha. Yeah, this looks like something out of Star Trek.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I think he just thinks that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's like
Walter's like Dakota's a Trekkie.
As he's like as he's gandering, he is like he does like kind of glance over at Jeff playing on the phone and just being like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty dope, actually.
That's pretty cool.
But Walter, you were also going to take a gander, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What are you taking a look around at?
Everything.
Just everything.
Yeah.
Just everything.
He wants to get a better feel of the scenario, of the environment.
Okay. Roll plus noodle.
And all the, yeah. Oh, God. I dropped a die, and then when I was trying to pick it up, I dropped the other one.
Tragic.
Rip.
Okay.
It only counts if it's a good roll.
That is a 9.
Ask your GM 2 of the following questions. One answer will be the truth, and the other, a lie.
One of us can only tell the truth, and the other one always lies.
All right, you've got your questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think my questions are, who can I trust and what here is not what it appears to be?
Solid questions.
Who can I trust and what here is not what it appears to be? Ooh, okay, this is good. Who can you trust? You feel like Jeff is a pretty good kid. You've seen a lot of people come in and out of the Sublime County School for Lost Children. I mean, you were a kid that came out of that school as well. And for the most part, I mean, there are a lot of kids who are just kind of kids. Some of them are born here in the Sublime. Others were not born here in the Sublime. Most of them are just kind of kids, you know? They go through a lot of traumatic experiences in that school through their re-education, especially if they aren't originally from the Sublime. But he's a good kid. He seems nice enough. You don't have any reason to think that he's like up to something, trying to trick you or anything like that. Just seems like a good, shy kid. And then for the... what here is not what it appears to be. It's so weird being in the Sublime, not knowing exactly who directly works for the Stranger. And it's all so weird that you all just happen to run into this really nice, cool kid.
Damn it, Kendrick. Damn it.
He's playing games on my phone.
He's killing your phone. The Stranger sent this kid to make sure your phone battery died.
Oh, shit. Well, okay.
Fuck.
I think that is not... That seems like not enough information for Walter to act on immediately. I guess now he's got that going forward.
Oh, fuck.
Well, fuck.
Mm-hmm. I ripped my phone out of Jeff's hands.
This isn't information you have. This is information Walter has.
No, I'm doing a silly. I'll let him play Subway Surfers on my phone for now.
For now.
He better not waste my jetpacks.
Mm-hmm. As
as you think that he uses the last.
He uses the last jetpack.
I've never played Subway Surfers. I don't know what any of this is about.
Nor have I. As you are playing with him, Dakota, he's like very interested in like what you're telling him and like how like, you know, to get points or whatever in this game. There's this moment where like as he's playing, he asks, "What happens when you get the top score and when you beat it?"
You can't really beat it. You just kind of go as long as you can, you know?
What do you mean you can't?
It's like, huh?
Well, what's the point of playing if you can't beat it?
Pass the time, you know? I can do whatever I want. So if I'm on the bus to school or in class, I can just kind of, it's like, you know, I can kind of just play this and do something else. It's
you
fun.
Play games in class? Doesn't your teacher get mad at you?
If they catch me.
You see him gasp.
You tell me you wouldn't play Galaga in class if you could?
No.
Why not? Because
I'm in school. I'd get in trouble.
Yeah, but say you wouldn't get in trouble. Wouldn't you rather play Galaga instead of school?
I mean, but I would get in trouble. The Stranger would see me.
Maybe. You should get better hide.
Maybe. Everyone knows the Stranger can see everything.
Are you sure?
He looks at you like kind of cocks his head in confusion and says, "Yeah, that's everyone knows that."
I mean, he can't see me right now, can he?
Of course he can. He always sees you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He can. Yeah. Then he can see all this. And Dakota takes and like puts a middle finger up to the sky.
He, you see him like gasp and like move back. Stop! You're gonna make him mad. He's gonna get mad at us. Stop it! And like tries to grab your arm to pull your hand down.
He can't do anything about it, Jeff. And then Dakota's still like sitting there, kind of like waving it around, like pointing it at the sky.
As you're pointing it at the sky, you see the sky begin to darken. As clouds begin to gather and a rumble of thunder in the distance. You see the look on Jeff's face as he goes, "You got it, man!" And he gets up and like runs into the laundromat, leaving behind the 50 cents that was left over from the tacos.
Sweet, more tacos.
Hey, Dakota, I might ask you to cool it with the hubris.
There's no way this guy can see everything,
right? It starts raining.
All right, let's just get inside.
Dakota kind of ponders the idea of an omnipresent, omniscient being that is not, like, benevolent. Yeah.
So the four of you all quickly like run into the laundromat as this rain comes out of nowhere and starts pouring down, thunder sounding off in the distance, a bit of lightning, and you can see the owner of the taco truck is starting, puts out like a closed sign, and as she's packing things up herself, and you all run inside of the laundromat.
Be gay. Roll dice.
An LGBTQIA actual play podcast network.